I'll just have to continue what Deborah said about God putting things together. My devotion this morning in Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, was talking about how the Lord never leave us or forsake us, and how that He's our helper. And it's awesome to know, no matter what, even as David said, if we make mistakes and get off track, the Lord is still there with us and never leave us. He always is our helper, regardless of what happens. So I'm so thankful for that. And I am very thankful for all that goes on and everybody here that makes a church possible. I got a copied on the schedule for Bible school preparation and decorating, and it looks like a business plan. Looks like it's incredible the amount of time that's just devoted to getting ready for Bible school. So I hope you'll be inviting your neighbors and friends and bring others to Bible school. I'm so thankful for all those that work behind the scenes, and just like with the graduation video, just everything that's happened today, it's just been God's hand and God's touch, and just so thankful for all that happens and it made it possible. And also got such a caring group here. I know some of you were running just a little late, and you missed some or all of the video, and our folks recognize that. So what we're going to do is, at the end of service, we're going to replay the graduation video. So if you missed or didn't get to see, if you'll just sit there, we'll be kind of quietly visiting and heading out the back door, but we're going to replay that so you've got an opportunity and you don't miss that. We want to make that possible to you. And before we dive into Scripture, one thing I just have to say is an excitement of having in Sunday school. And I just wanted to share a brief testimony for a second this morning. And from my care group, we had gathered this morning. And what I'm so excited about is, what one purpose of our Sunday school plan and of having care groups in Sunday school is that we go beyond our prayer list and actually minister and do more. And by that I mean every church has a prayer list. Amen? Every church has a prayer list. And I have a long prayer list of my own. But often then that's where it stops. We just pray. And it's powerful and so important. But we want to take that beyond praying for the lost, praying for those that are struggling, praying for those that are sick, but doing something about that and reaching out. And I've come to one conclusion in the last few weeks, and especially today. We need your help. If you're not in Sunday school, it's not anymore just about Bible study, which is of utmost importance and we enjoy. But we need your help, because in my simple care group, the five of us this morning, there are so many needs. Some of y'all were mentioned this morning, that need. Some of y'all were mentioned as needing your help to be involved and then reaching out because things going on in your life. So it's just awesome to sit here and look and think about that. We need your help. If you're not part of Sunday school, I'd encourage you, 9:45 next Sunday, come. I'll be at the front door. Some of our other folks will be here. We'll guide you where you need to be, but we need your help if we're going to really put, as the old saying goes, put feet on our prayers. Amen? So I hope you'll become involved in that. I'm so thankful you've come, and if you'll turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Romans 12, 1. As you're turning to Romans 12, 1, I invite you, as you find your place, to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans 12, 1. And really just two verses this morning, and I hope I can just even begin to introduce this idea that God reveals so clearly to me. Romans 12, 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Dear God, to think about those words this morning, and Lord, we do pray, Lord, that our attitudes and our actions are acceptable, Lord. What we're doing here at your church is acceptable. And dear God, in a world that is constantly trying to conform us, and we'll be conforming these graduates even more as they take these next steps into the workforce, into the military, into college, Lord, just, dear God, help us all to live with a passionate, fervent desire to be transformed, Lord, by you and not conform with this world. So let us take a check. Let us let your Holy Spirit check us this morning and begin that process, Lord, on a daily basis. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Acceptable to God. Did you notice those words there in the Bible? I was reminded at Scott was teaching Sunday school that Billy Graham is known for, and it's brought out in his autobiography, Just As I Am, how that statement the Bible says, it was a hallmark statement of Billy Graham's ministry and his life. Whether he was talking to someone, whether he was meeting with the president, he would say, the Bible says. Not Billy Graham says or Billy Graham thinks, but the Bible says in his preaching. And after I read that and heard it, I would listen to some old sermons, and there it is, time and time again, the Bible says. And that really is what we need to move forward with, if you would get back to realize that the Bible says, and the Bible speaks on these verses about being acceptable unto God. Look at those words in verse 1. Your body's a living sacrifice, holy, meaning to be separate, acceptable unto God. So this morning, in the time we have, I want us to think about the idea from Scripture. What does it mean, acceptable to God? But more importantly, is this preacher standing here? Are you sitting in the pew? Are you acceptable to God in the terms of what God's Word lines out? In verse 2, it describes that good, it says, and acceptable. And it goes on to say perfect, and it really translates being complete will of God. I remember years ago, and I really kind of sad to say, I had gotten in the work world. I had heard about the will of God. I knew that there was a will of God, and I knew we need to pray for the will of God, Tim. But I remember making a habit. I worked in Charlotte. I live over on 205, and I had about an hour's drive every morning to work. As I would leave out, and some of y'all make that drive here, even farther, Larry, than I did, as I make that drive, I had a certain point, and I would pray as I went. And as I prayed, I had a certain point over New York Church Road. Invariably, I'd go by a little patch of, and as I prayed, I'd be past my family, and I'd get to that point, and I'd say, God, I just want your will for my life. God, I just want your will for my life. And that became just a standard every morning praying that prayer. And I'm telling you, I stand here today amazed at what that simple prayer has done. Now, Wayne, I find myself at times in life that I kind of feel like, you know, that's happening. Things are going good. And I don't pray that as much. I don't continually pray. So I'm reconvicted this week. Say, God, continually every day to make it a point. So ask for his will because it is good. It will take me to what's acceptable to God in my life. It is perfect. It's complete. And it is what he wants. So the question this morning is this. Just think, if you don't get anything else out of what the verse is talking about, take this home with you and begin to ask God this question. Don't ask yourself this question. Don't ask your husband and wife. Don't ask your grandparents, your mom and dad. Don't ask your friend, but ask God through the Holy Spirit. Get alone, spend some time with God and say, God, is my marriage acceptable to you? God, is all the relationships that I am in, you know, whether it be family or friends or is it acceptable to you? God, is how I spend my time, how I'm using my time, is that acceptable to you? Is God, how I'm raising my children, how as I'm getting ready to have a grandchild, God, is what I'm doing, is it acceptable to you? Dear God, is my work, is how I am at work and what I'm doing, is that acceptable to you? Dear God, is how I'm thinking and what I focus on and how I treat others, is it acceptable to you? God, simply, is my life acceptable to you? I believe through the Holy Spirit, and if you'll get in the Word of God, beginning with these verses, you begin to ask for his will and begin to ask him that question. I really believe that God has the power and God wants to speak into our lives and show us those things are acceptable and encouragement. We need some encouragement, amen? And he's not about just simply tell us what we do wrong, but encourage us that he's acceptable, he's pleased, but also that God would show each one of us, Miss Loretta, that he would show us areas of our life. Maybe I didn't list yours, but you're already beginning to think, I'm not sure if it's acceptable, or you know full well right now, that's just not acceptable to God. And we begin to make allowances, and I do it in my own life, amen? The first thing we understand, and I just want to mention to you this morning, is this. It's this idea when it's talking about in verse 1, look at it with me, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So the first thing we have to do is we have to present our life. We have to present not just this body, but our mind, and we need to present everything before him. I really believe what we do so often is we neglect presenting things to God, amen? We really do. We definitely neglect letting our body being a living sacrifice and just presenting all of us to him, amen? But I think we neglect, we have problems, we have things, we have decisions, and we really do, on a busy day, in a busy week, we'll neglect really taking things to God. And he's telling us that we must do that. It's the first thing. What we do is we settle for what's acceptable to us. Amen? Is that right? I'm convinced that it doesn't matter what my wife says, and she's right 99.9% of the time. It doesn't matter what my children, and I find this is a little different. As your children get older, and as I see them walking in the Lord, man, they'll really put it to you. Amen? I'll give you an example. Last Sunday, we left right after church. It's Memorial Day, and we took the Yao family down to the beach for a couple of nights, rode down to Charleston, had a wonderful time. And my plan was that I was going to get back in late Wednesday night. We was going to pack it in, Phil. We was going to do all we could, drive in late. They could sleep coming back, and we'd go in. Well, it didn't work that way. We did everything we wanted to do, got ready to come home. We headed back in, got in early. And I'm thinking, well, man, I kind of got the night off. Y'all all right? Now, y'all do that. Y'all do that on Sunday and Wednesdays, okay? I know y'all do. Kind of got that. Marty's going to be teaching Bible study. Kind of got the night off, you know. And I get home, and Hilton wasn't with us on the trip. We're sitting at the table, you know, and Hilton said, about church. And I said, well, I guess I got the night off, you know. And he looked at me, and he, what were your words, son? What did you say? He said, I think that's a bad look, Dad. Isn't that something? Dad, that's a bad look. Well, he's right, Jim. But hey, I'm just being honest for y'all, okay? Y'all, and like I said, y'all do it all the time, so don't be getting on me. Don't be thinking bad of me. And I'm telling you, it was the exact Bible study I needed. And it was just the joy of being in God's house. But how often a thought, a decision, a choice is acceptable to us. It's not as important as it's acceptable to my family or even anything, but is it acceptable to God? We settle for what's acceptable to us or what acceptable to others. Amen? Hey, I tell you what, you know, that's just acceptable now. Hey, it's acceptable now that every place be open on Sunday, right? Now, I don't know that I'm old enough to remember when nothing was open on Sunday, but I am old enough to remember that when I was coming up, they weren't much open on Sunday, amen? They weren't much open on Sunday, but it's acceptable now for everything to be open. And you know what the crazy thing is? We all know that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. Do you realize that how it became closed on Sunday, first of all, is Truett Cathy and his brother started the company. They realized that they literally said, we physically, emotionally, mentally, we won't make it, Sandy, if we work 7 days a week. He said, we won't make it. Now, he grew in his relationship with the Lord as a strong Christian, Sunday school teacher, all kind of things. And it's closed now, and the family continues because of God and God's call to be closed. But it started out with common sense is, we can't work all the time and make it. Where did that come from? That came from God. Now think about that, y'all. But it's come acceptable for everything to be open on Sunday, for us to work on Sunday. And you know, it's amazing. It used to be a little term. Well, you know, you get the ox in the ditch, you can get him out on Sunday, okay? Well, there's a lot of weird-looking oxes and a lot of stuff going on in the world now. Amen? Amen? You know, it keeps going and going. I think when Brooke was working her first nursing job, working intensive care, and she had to work on Sunday, hey, that's all right. But a lot of the other stuff's not it, but it becomes acceptable to us, to the world, and all around us. So here's my question. What has become acceptable to you, but it's not acceptable to God? I'm telling you, it's like a prayer list. I told my care group this morning, I said, this prayer is hard work. And if we're going to take now from just praying, hey, I have trouble sometimes getting through all the prayers and doing all the things where I'm rushing off. And now we're going to begin to reach out and go see people and talk to people. I mean, this is going to be work. Amen? It's going to be work. And so we have to present ourselves to God. We have to know what's acceptable to Him. Present our bodies that living sacrifice. But secondly, it begins with what's inside, not what people see on the outside. That's where this begins. It begins on the inside. In Psalm 19:14, the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Did you hear what God said? God is simply saying, and listen, the words of your mouth are going to be acceptable to Him if the meditation of your heart is acceptable to Him. If it's not, it won't be. The old saying is true. If you, If you can be a good Christian behind the closed door of your homes, then you can be a good Christian anywhere. But if you can't be a good Christian in the closed doors of your home, you're not a good Christian anywhere else. It begins on the inside. It's when we really have presented our life and been saved. Oh, it was great. I mean, it was just great excitement. I'm not much a crier. It'd probably help me if I cried more, but I got close last night. Sandra and Macy, and many of you met them as they came to church and presented with us, they're missionaries in Peru. Macy is Davey's sister, married a wonderful young man from Peru named Sandro, and I'm telling you, he is just the most humble, kind, wonderful young man. It's just incredible. And he had, many of you gave them money, personally in ministry, and people have been helping them. But I heard that he would, I said, is there anything that he needs or wants or they need? And Macy kind of said, well, he'd like to have one of them fold-up chairs. You know, taking the ball games, Amanda. You know how this folds up, put in the bag. He'd like to have one of those. So he goes to Walmart. He looks at them, kind of got picked out. So I kept waiting to hear, Sherry, that he got his fold-up chair. They're leaving today. Their plane leaves tonight. David and Brooke will be carrying them this evening to go to the airport. So I asked, did Sandra get his chairs? They're either $5 to $9 at Walmart. He didn't. My full belief is he knows the situation in Peru and the need of it, and he would not spend money on that. He was taking the money back for him and Maisie for the ministry in Peru. So last night at 10 o'clock, and I'm telling you, this has been a week, y'all. Me and Davey and Sandra, we struck out for Walmart. And the excitement over a $9 fold-up chair. He got it out, he said, he tested it. Give me the thumbs up. I said, we'll get Maisie one. Ah, yes. They didn't have her color. I said, Sandra, it's Walmart. They got a lot, but this is only two choices. And he gets her. And so he's going to unbag it and test it. Me and it's 10:30, y'all. Long day, long week. Sunday coming. They got to do that. Sandra unfolds it. As soon as he unfolds it, damaged seat. Today, put this up, I'll get another one down. Excited and kind and hugging me and loving. A $9 fold-up chair from Walmart. We dropped him off, said bye to him and Maisie. Man, I keep telling him, I think that God sent Davey's dad and Christine down to missionary and sent them back to missionary in the United States. I'm convinced. I even tried to get their passports the other day. I'm riding down the road and I said, Davey, that's how it is when you have Jesus in your heart. That's how you act. Not nothing. That's not him. It's Jesus. Begins with what's inside. Somebody sent me some good news. Problems resolved. Just a heart thing, y'all. It's a heart thing. But thirdly, it begins, as I said, inside. Not what people see on the outside, but it continues with a walk that pleases God. The Bible talks often of our walk. It's our life. It's our choices. It's where we go. It's how we talk. It's how we think. It's everything in relation to God. Is it pleasing to Him? And that's how this continuation, once you present, then you continue walking to Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 through 2 says, furthermore, then we beseech you. That word beseech in the Bible means that urge and beg. And listen, wasn't the writer of the Bible, it is God who is urging us, just begging us. It says, you brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you should abound more and more. We miss that. We want to abound more and more. We want to have more money, better job, more good times. We want to abound, but we miss out that God says, hey, what the simple thing is, you need to walk in a way that's acceptable, and it'll be pleasing to me, and then I'll give you abundance in your life. Verse 2 of that passage, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. That's kind of like God saying, you know. I don't think there's anybody in here that you have any problem, really, if you'd be honest, with what's susceptible to God. Really not. That's what I read in that second verse as we're reading there in Romans 12:2. The question is, have we become so conformed to this world and we've lost out on the transformation that we find ourselves confused about what's acceptable? Most important, and I'll close with this, the most important thing to know this morning is about being acceptable to God is, will you be accepted into heaven? Will you be accepted into heaven? I thought of it this way. I'll just read you what I wrote. Why? The question is, why should God let you in heaven? Why should God let me in heaven? We begin to talk about what things have been done in our lives, how we've lived, the way of our living, what we've tried to do. We'll make these humble admissions of the mistakes we made, amen. Then we'll make those but statements, you know, but this is why, and God understands. And then we'll say, I realize, there's some pretty prideful and egotistical people I know in the world, but majority of everyone would say, I could have done better, amen. When I heard Billy Graham in his late 90s saying he wished he had prayed more and wished he'd shared Jesus more and wished he had studied the Bible more. But we say, I know I could have done better. But you know the answer to that is no. We could not have done better. Only Jesus living inside of us more and him being able to have more transforming power, more control in our lives, and being more acceptable to him, that's what would be better, more of Jesus. Amen. Isn't that kind of comforting? So don't look back and say, man, I wish I'd done better. You can't do no better. I can't do any better. It's all about Jesus. Try to be a good person. Or often people say, well, they're a good man, good woman. In Matthew 19:16, I won't turn there, but Jesus explains that. But in Leviticus 22:20, the Bible says, but whatsoever they have a blemish, that shall you not offer, for it shall not be acceptable to you. That was a sacrificial system of the Old Testament. But you know, why do we want to give God the leftovers? Why do we want to give God a life that's so full of the world that it's not even recognizable? Why do we want to do that? Apart from Jesus, we're nothing. Amen. You know what nothing is? Somebody described nothing to me as this. Nothing is this. If you take a zero, draw you a big zero in the sky, and think of that zero, that rim of that zero, and we know zero being nothing, but what nothing really is knock the ring off that zero. That's nothing. We're nothing without Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2:4, the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Do you know you're chosen to be a soldier? He didn't choose you. He hasn't chosen you to come sit in church. He hasn't chosen you to live your life and respect him and know he exists and pray to him often. He gave you life, and he gave you new life in Jesus Christ so it would be a soldier. Let me ask this question. How many of us would want to say this morning that our life as a soldier in this worldly battle we live in was acceptable to him this week? I'm not ready to say that. How will you be accepted into heaven? The answer is Jesus. Jesus. They sell the jokes about, you know, you hear the jokes, the stories. You show up at the pearly gates and St. Peter's there. None of that's true. Be assured of one thing. I find myself in heaven, and God or anyone's looking at me at how I got there, I'm just going to point to Jesus and say, I'm with him. But that's what an acceptable life is. Everywhere you go. I was reading. Got plans for school, plans for military, plans for work eventually, or work during the same time. Amen. I'm with Jesus. Well, that changes things, don't it? I'm with Jesus. I'm with him. Show up to work, show up to school. I'm with Jesus. Would you take that time this week? And like I said, don't ask somebody else. We're much too kind to one another, amen? Get along with God. If you physically can't get on your knees, lay across the bed, sit in a chair, and just spend some time this week and say, God, will you show me what's acceptable? Because he wants to encourage you, and what's not. And I've said this, I tell this story a lot. But I got on my knees with a pad of paper and a pencil one day, years ago. I said, God, show me things. Basically, I wasn't using those words that aren't acceptable. Show me areas. Tell you what, words is flowing pretty fast. And I got to the end of the page, I filled it up. So I was going to turn it over, like any good Christian would, and let God continue. And I became so overwhelmed, I said, God, will you please stop? Because I can't handle anymore. And help me to start with what you showed me. Now say this. Do you realize that God loves you so much? But God loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you where you're at right now if you're not where you need to be. There may be one thing. You don't need a pad, you don't need a pencil. There may be one thing that so overwhelms you that you can just ask God to stop right there and say, God, let's work on this one thing, this one feeling, this one problem. Isn't that awesome? And we read in that second verse there in chapter 12 that God says, instead of being conformed to how it is and how you think and everybody says it's going to be, that he can transform your life. Do you believe that? I know that. Would you pray with every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, I want to invite you, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you can never be acceptable, you never begin this journey if you don't give your heart to Jesus. Well, preacher, how do you do that? It's a gift. It's a gift opened by prayer. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I encourage you, can pray and ask him in your heart right now. You want to turn from yourself and sin, ask him to save you. And right now, you pray that simple prayer, and he will save you, and you'll have Jesus. Amen. But he says, if you deny him before others, he'll deny you before the Father. He's basically saying it probably ain't real unless you'll let someone know. That I encourage you to come share. You pray that. Or maybe you just need some help. That's what old Thomas needed when he was doubting in the Bible, and Jesus spoke with him. Give him words so you can come and we'll take and someone will open the Bible and share with you about Jesus. Maybe you need to come to the altar and just let God begin to ask that question about being acceptable. Maybe you already know, you've got your list like I had. Maybe it's this next step. Maybe it's college. Maybe it's military. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's you're a parent of a graduate. Maybe you're a parent or grandparent of a little child. But you're just sensing the need to come to an old-fashioned altar and just kind of spend some time with God. Whatever the need is, maybe you are here and God's led you here and you'll be part of this family. Open our doors. We need you. We need you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.